This podcast is a Uniting Heart and Soul production. Hello and welcome to Filthy Hope, a podcast from Uniting Heart and Soul in Wallara, all about choosing faith and hope in the middle of the mess and filth of the world. The ministry here at Uniting Heart and Soul is one built on a declaration of radical honesty, something that we are going to try to embody as we have conversations about God, faith, life, and religion, but also the grey spaces where those things intersect. This means that you might hear some language that you're not used to hearing from a minister, but it also means that we're going to be talking about some potentially confronting subject matter, quite frankly and honestly. So we do recommend that you don't listen around kids. I'm your host, Jonty, and this week on the podcast, we're continuing to ask tough questions about the even tougher situations. Where the fuck is God? Dr. Rob is our guest, a molecular biologist, and he joins us to chat about fertility and IVF. Enjoy the episode. Alrighty, welcome to the pod, Ness. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. So, we're going to be cutting shortly to an interview with Dr. Rob. How do you know Rob, Ness?
I've been shagging him for 33 years. Exclusively, yeah. Can I say. He's my husband, man.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk to him. We will introduce him, or he will introduce himself very shortly. But just real brief, who's Rob and why are we interviewing him?
He's a bit of a weapon. He's got a PhD in molecular biology and he works in the field of IVF. And he'll talk more about that. I don't want to steal his thunder there because you're doing the interview. And he's going to talk about where the fuck is God in the Petri dish, basically.
Yeah.
And the miraculous nature of conception and how that unrolls for people that struggle to just get the shagging thing happening naturally. It's actually bloody hard to fall pregnant. And that's the thing that I find amazing because I just feel like I had to sniff sperm. They could crawl up my leg pretty much. And then, you know, I remember saying to Rob, let's have a child. And we had sex that night and we had ginger. And then the next time we said, we'll have another child a couple of years later. And then we had sex and we had Aurora. And I remember speaking to the, I had a miscarriage in between, but I remember speaking to the doctor, my obstetrician, and she said to me, so now you're X number of weeks along. And I said, no, it's not, because I know when I had sex. And she said, you can't possibly know when you had sex. I said, yeah, I do know when I had sex because I do it so rarely. I knew the time I did. So that'll be the time that I fell pregnant, and was quite miraculous. You know, I know that's not the story for everybody. I just feel very blessed that it was our story. But he's going to share more about what he does in IVF and his role and how his faith intersects with what he does in science. He's a really smart bastard.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Into that age-old debate of science versus religion.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be, yeah.
It's a good one.
Looking forward to it. But before we do that, of course, we need to drop by Vent Central. So, Ness... You're up. What's been grinding your gears recently?
Oh, well, we're coming into the election. The election's about to happen in the next couple of weeks, and we've got all the advertisements that are on the TV and on the radio. And all I can hear is, that's not my job, Scott, the Labor campaign for against Scott Morrison. That's not my job. And it just pisses me off, Jonty. Not so much the Labor ad. And I know we probably shouldn't talk about politics and where that intersects with religion, but it's grinding my gears at the moment because I feel that they pitch all of them, not just Labor or Liberal, but all the parties are pitching to the Australian community like we're fucking thick.
Yeah, just, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I feel offended that they can't even talk intellectually about what their policies are. They just do this fear-mongering bullshittery in their ad campaigns, and I'm sick of it. I'm jack of it, man. I yell at the TV, shut up, you dickhead. It just drives me insane.
Yeah.
Because they're not selling anything. If you think of how to market something, market their cause or what they think and feel, we're not getting a good marketing campaign, you know, and it just pisses me off, Jonty. I'm sure it pisses off a lot of Australians.
Have you been getting text messages from old mate Craig Kelly?
No, I don't get Craig's.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because they're sort of no reply numbers, so you don't actually get through to anyone if you text back.
Mm.
But I know plenty of people, myself included, you get text messages from Craig Kelly or Clive Palmer trying to talk to you about the Fatty McFuckhead party, is what I call it. And you just respond with abuse. Oh. Like, no, I'm not. No, you're an idiot. Stop.
Yeah, they're just trying to suck them a thick.
Yeah, delete my number. I don't want to hear from you again. Mm. Like, it's, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
we applied for postal votes, my entire family, and so that we don't even have to deal with it on the day. Done. We're going to be down doing my daughter's wedding, and we just did not want to be dealing with that palaver. So I've already voted. I'm done. Wipe my hands of that stuff. So that's my vent central.
Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty universal one.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's jump over to having a chat with Rob.
Yeah, go well, everybody.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon, future Jonty. Thanks, past Jonty. Well, today on the podcast, like we said, we have Dr. Rob Henke. So welcome to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here, Jonty.
Thanks so much for coming on. So how might... Well, what's the connection between you and our co-host, Vanessa? We've heard her explain it.
Well, I've been married to that lovely lady for 33 years. And I think about 34 years ago, she came and found me in San Diego. We fell in love. So, yeah, it's been a great road with her. A very long
Amazing.
One. I hope going for much longer.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Amazing. So do you want to introduce yourself and what it is that you do?
Sure. So I'm Robert Henke. I'm Vice President of Sales and Operations for Asia Pacific. I represent a major clinical diagnostic testing company. Our company focuses in the area of DNA sequencing, basically looking using DNA sequencing to uncover a whole range of different genetic abnormalities, servicing the areas of clinical disease, IVF, newborn screening, all those sorts of areas.
Amazing. All areas that I wouldn't even pretend to know anything about. It's way over my head. So I was talking to Ness earlier, and I was also talking to you earlier about just how unlikely and how crazy it, like, conception in itself is. Just what those odds are. Did you want to talk about that a little bit first?
Yeah, sure. So I guess when I started in this clinical testing area, we originally started off screening of newborn children for what I call rare genetic diseases. These kids had no ability, they had no test able to diagnose what they had. So we brought up this new genetic testing technology, and we were able to help clinicians understand what was wrong with these kids. So the first time in these parents' lives, they were able to understand what was the cause of what was wrong with their little child. Subsequently, we moved into the area of IVF and using the same sort of technology to help patients in that area. What was amazing is working with IVF clinicians was to actually find out effectively how lucky we are to be alive. The stats that I was really thrown by was something like greater than 40% of human conceptions actually fail to implant. It's almost a 50-50 chance that when that sperm meets egg, that embryo is not going to make it. And that can happen for a number of reasons. the embryo could be genetically abnormal. In many cases, there's extra copies or lost copies of chromosomes, which creates a situation where the embryo is not viable. Some cases, even that fertilization event, the placenta that comes from that conception, ultimately comes from that conception, is genetically abnormal and may not hold up. So I think the take home is that was sort of opened my eyes was that, you know, a lot of couples are suffering from fertility issues, or they may lose a child, a fetus early. But there's nothing abnormal here. It's nothing wrong with the couple. This is biology. And I even sort of thinking back on my own life with Vanessa, you know, we lost a fetus very early. My grandmother lost one of her pregnancies. And I guess what I'd like to just say is, having worked with these doctors in the field, is, you know, if it does happen to you, there's nothing wrong with you. This is part of human biology, part of human existence, and just keep trying. And then really working with the IVF doctors, you start hearing these amazing success stories. They're able to grant couples the gift of having a child. And I think that is, of all things in life, I know in my own life, just being able to give, conceive and have children gave me life fulfillment that I could never, ever envision in my life. Couldn't conceive of it. And just to think that, you know, human medical, clinical research and technology has been able to grant this gift to couples is just beyond comparison. Mm.
And so I guess my next question would be, what would your response be to something I've seen come up a number of occasions in different sort of conversations and online discourse, to this idea that IVF and other medical treatment and those sorts of things are quote unquote unnatural? Because that's come up a fair bit for me, even just when I was talking to a friend earlier about that one of the topics we're going to be talking about on the podcast was IVF and where's God in IVF. Oh, isn't that a bit unnatural? What would your response be to that?
I have lots of directions I could go with that one, but I think as a Christian, I think, you know, I embrace science because I think it's unpacking the mind of God. The great creator has created this fantastic, you know, life on Earth and this universe. And as we scientists study that, we understand a little bit more, but then we understand when we get to that point, we understand there's so much more we don't understand. I think, you know, if you look at the default positions to do nothing, well, we'd all probably be dead by the time we're 35 years old from something. We do lots of unnatural interventions. You know, I would challenge someone that says, you know, at IVF, all we're doing is helping a sperm meet an egg. Those sperm and egg are put together and they do their thing. And, you know, when you really look at the cause of that infertility for this couple, there's numerous things it could be. You know, you could have an egg difficulty in ovulating. You may have low ovulation. The man may have poor sperm. You know, it swims around in circles. You know, we can intervene with all these processes and help fix this, get that conception to happen and grant that couple that gift. So yes, it's unnatural, but I would say if you're looking at unnatural things, let's expand on unnatural further. First of all, a person who says, I don't, you know, these things are unnatural. Well, why don't we look at antibiotics? Hmm. Antibiotics are unnatural for humans in that antibiotics are produced by either bacteria or fungi to kill other bacteria and fungi. They're not meant to be put into people in a natural sense. Further, those antibiotics are chemically modified. So they're absorbed by the human intestine and they go to the site and kill the bacteria. So unnatural again. I mean, if we want to draw that line, why don't we do chemotherapy and radiotherapy? Let's throw that in there because that's about as unnatural as you can get. All those are man-made, heavy-duty interventions that save lives, grant people lives. Probably even go as far as Nurofen. Nurofen's not a natural compound. It's a chemically built pain receptor blocker. You know, so where do you draw that line? And all we're doing with IVF is granting the people a baby that's another God-given soul in this world. I can't find no defensible position. God didn't say, thou shalt not do IVF, commandment 11.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think, you know, when God created man in his image, I think that image in my mind is the ability to create, to decipher, to discover, to improve, to help people, help those in need. Jesus said, help those in need. God's sakes, there's nothing more people in need than a couple struggling to be given the gift of a baby.
Mm. A question that I love to ask people in fields that are different to mine is, how does your faith affect your work? But I actually wanted to ask you the opposite. How does, and I'm really curious about this, how your work in IVF and in the medical sector, how has that affected your faith?
I think if you looked at, you know, if you went back 100 years, you know, in the villages, life, whatever, we would be encountering death and life. Life and death were this constant struggle, right? We'd have, you know, some guy would have died at 30 years old from a disease that's totally healable today. You know, you had five kids, three of them would have died before they reached adulthood. Those are stats. You know, death was there. We were fighting to live with that, you know. But now I think the modern world, where death is almost an abnormality. You know, we've shielded it so much. Our medical technology is so good that if someone dies, it's like now, if someone dies in their 60s, you go, oh, he went too early. I mean, when I was growing up, even in the 70s, you know, dads retired at 60 and were dead by 62. Even we faced that. But now it's even become more sanitized, if you will. So I think, like I mentioned earlier, when you talk about the act of human conception and the mortality rate, if you will, of this, those early embryos not making it to implantation in the uterus to even start growing, I think you begin to understand the fragility of life and also the blessing of life. And for me and you to be sitting here in this conversation right now and to be able to have that conversation, Jonty, to be alive is a miracle. And I think when you look at, I guess, the field I'm in, when we see the complexity and we continue to understand and even deeper and deeper into the complexity of life and how it forms and how it survives. And I think it just, you stand in awe of God, thankfulness, and Lord, just give us the ability to discover more about this incredible thing that you've created and the blessing we are to be here.
Mm. Yeah. So I guess the final question, which we've kind of already addressed really, would be the main question that this series is about, is where do you see God in the midst of IVF? And I guess my answer, just even having spoken to you very briefly today, is God is there in the people like yourself that are sort of embodying that, like you said, that creativity and that inquisitiveness that is inherent in the character of God that we have within us as well as people made in the image of God. And I resonate really strongly with that idea of, I mean, Ness and I were talking earlier about, you know, that debate between science and religion, which I think both of us feel like is such a non-argument, like why they have to be mutually exclusive. I just think it's such a stupid thing. And like speaking to people like you, just really resonates with me more. Like the fact that people draw that distinction between it's either science or religion is just so absurd. And the fact that why it's not a thing that people can consider that, well, actually the scientific pursuit is part of that God-given creativity and inquisitiveness and all of those things. So did you have anything to add to that or just to that question?
Yeah, I mean, I could probably elaborate on that a bit. I mean, if you looked at, you know, just thinking this over, if you looked at Isaac Newton, you know, theories of gravity and the other things, you know, he sought out to understand the mind of God. Hmm. The scientist, one of the greatest scientists ever lived in 16, whatever, set out to understand the mind of God. How does this all work? You know, he theorized that God's energy or whatever held the planets in this elliptical or orbits. You know, it was like, wow. But he went out to understand the mind of God. And that's where all that science came from those inquisitiveness in that heart that he had. Galileo, of course, you know, gets, I think where all this whole thing started was the church attacked him because he all of a sudden said Earth wasn't center of the universe. And that was heresy. Pretty much. I mean, so the war kind of started then. And I think my view is scientific community eventually just rebelled and said, well, you know, screw you. If you're going to treat us like that, like, you know, you're the holder of all knowledge, Almighty Church, when we're discovering things that are different, but still fit with God's creation. You know, I think that's where it all started. I don't see any separation at all. I mean, I look more kind of deeper as scientists dig, the more wonderful and amazing the thing becomes, because every time you answer one question in science, 10 new ones open up. And what we take for granted, we know now, we didn't know 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Well, that'll be the same 30, 40 years from now. We'll still be, you know, 1,000 years from now, uncovering more about what God has put in plan here, and pretty much stand back in awe of it all.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. I really resonate with that. That just about does it. Was there anything else that you wanted to share while we have the opportunity?
No, I think that's great. No, it's been a pleasure being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining. Back to you, past Jonty. Thanks for you to Jonty. We're back on the pod. How good was that?
Oh, he's lovely, isn't he?
Yeah, you did well.
He's a brainiac. Yeah, I was punching, mate, when I landed him, I tell you. Lucky I was a good lay, I say.
Maybe we'll have him back on the pod and he can respond. I'm scared to ask now, but yeah. Gratitude, what are you grateful for?
Oh, I am grateful. My daughter, Ginger, is getting married in a couple of weeks, and on the weekend was the hen's night. And the girls all went out and Ginger's partner, Joel, they had the Bucks night at the same time. And just like a mum, I mean, they're in their mid-20s. They're grown-ups now. And I still worry about them, Jonty. And I wasn't invited because I'm clearly not a part of the penis straw brigade and couldn't be trusted. And so I wasn't invited. And so then I go to sleep and I pray for their safety and that nothing horrible happens in the night for them and everybody's safe. And I then wake up at 1:38 a.m. look at my phone and go, shit, nobody's home. My heart rate's racing, just that mother thing. And I then think, oh, what will I do? And this is where my gratitude comes in. I am so grateful for Find My Friends, because I've got Joel, Ginger and Slink all on Find My Friends. We all have each other, because remember when the Lint Siege cafe thing happened? Yeah, yeah. My family were all sort of scattered that day and we couldn't find each other. And I was on the way to the city to do a job, and the phones actually got scrambled. I don't know how the telecommunications do that, but our phones got scrambled so nobody could communicate with each other. And I couldn't communicate with my family and tell them that I was safe. And I got home that afternoon and I said to everybody, that was too stressful. We need to find out an app that we can all be able to track each other, because I think they were quite new back then. I can't remember how long ago that was, but I remember it being quite a thing. And I remember Aurora at that stage saying, there's no way you're going to track me, Mum. And I said, look, I'll pay you $50 a month if you just let me track you. And anyway, somehow convinced her, and we've all been tracking each other ever since. And I'm so grateful, because that night I could see that the girls were going up Sid Ironfield Drive on the way back to their Airbnb at Bondi in two separate cars, and I could see that Joel was going down Clarence Street on his way probably from the bar back to home. And I thought, oh, so grateful just to know that they were alive. And so my gratitude is that we have these amazing apps where we can track each other and know each other's safe. And I didn't sort of have to ring them and do the psycho mother routine. But I need to add, because the girls will listen to this, because then at 2:20, I did. I texted them and I said, somebody FaceTime me. I need to know that you've got a pulse and you haven't choked on your vomit. And so they ring me, FaceTime me, and Slink's going, yeah, hey, Mum, we're great. We've had the best night. This is amazing. Say hi to the mum. She's worried about us. And the girls were going off. I felt so much better. Never been so happy to see a group of 10 pissed chicks. safe at home, and I went back to bed. Yep, got up at the crack of dawn for church. Amen.
Fantastic. Well, that just about does it for the podcast for this week.
So good.
We'd love to hear from you if you have any input, if you have any questions, if you have any stories that you want to share with us, that where you're finding filthy hope in your lives. We'd love to hear from you. You can hit us up, obviously, on Instagram, or if you want to join the discussion group on Facebook. We'll have links everywhere. So come find us. Until then, we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jonty.
Have a good one. This podcast is a Uniting Heart and Soul production.